Well, what a night this is going to be with our special guest tonight, Joshua Warren. Is your pet really dead? Paranormal investigator Joshua Warren thought his Dunson was. For weeks after her death, he still heard her shrill, desperate whining haunting his home. And using an array of high-tech equipment, he searched for her presence. What he found led him on a search for ghostly animals throughout history. Tonight, our special guest, Joshua Warren, as we talk about pet ghosts and some other anomalies right here on Coast to Coast AM. Joshua Warren is the president of LIMHER, the Paranormal Investigations Group in Asheville, North Carolina. They use the scientific method to explore the unexplained, specializing in ghostly phenomena. Joshua is the author of numerous books, including his newest, Pet Ghosts, Animal Encounters from Beyond the Grave, and How to Hunt Ghosts. He's also been on many television programs, History Channel, Discovery. His team made the cover of the science journal Electric Spacecraft in 2004 for their groundbreaking work on how ghostly ball lightning types, plasmas like the Brown Mountain Lights, manifest in nature. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature article and the video that Joshua has provided to us. He'll also be appearing at the Ghost Fest in Long Beach, California this weekend, where I will be as well. Joshua, we will meet you there, won't we?
Oh, yes, we will. And I have to tell you, I cannot remember the last time I was this excited.
Well, tell me a little bit. Lots we're going to talk about, but to tell me about Ghost Fest on the Queen Mary, because you know a lot about what's going on out there.
Well, I was there just last year, actually. I was doing a TV program with James von Prague, the psychic medium, and it was called Possessed Possessions, sort of like an antiques roadshow for haunted and cursed items. And at one point, I went down into an area of the ship where over 300 men died when the Queen Mary collided with another ship during World War II. And I tell you, George, you don't have to be a psychic to walk into that area and feel sensations that make your skin crawl, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And I took out all my equipment. It went bonkers. I mean, I was hardly able to get baseline readings. And so this year, I'm excited. This is going to be an historic occasion for a number of reasons. I think on your end, this is the first remote you've done with Coast to Coast AM, right?
No, I've done remotes from UFO conferences in different affiliates. But this is going to be my first remote with a live audience sitting all around me.
Wow. Well, I am proud to tell you that this weekend you are going to be one of the first people in this country to see the absolute latest in paranormal investigation technology, because just days before I left on my trip to come out here, I received a new system that has just been invented in the UK by Richard Fitton called the Paranormal PC. Have you heard about this system?
I have not, but you're going to tell me about it.
Well, you know, for years, I've done interviews and I've told you about how laborious it is to take box loads of equipment out to one of these sites.
Yes.
And then try to set everything up and coordinate it. Well, imagine this. Instead of doing all that, you go to the site, you have one little box, you open it up, you pull out a PC, you hook two or three different little meters into it, it's all user-friendly, and you just let it sit there. Well, one of the things on the device is a motion-sensitive infrared camera.
Oh, my.
And it's got several features like a 3D texturing kind of feature as well that shows you layers and so on. And you set whatever parameters you want to look for. And if anything changes in that environment while you let it sit there, it will automatically kick on and start recording 7 fields of data. So you come back later and you have high-quality video if there has been any visual change. You've got stereo audio right there if there's any type of EVP type phenomenon. You have the electromagnetic field, the geomagnetic field, the electrostatic field, the temperature, the luminosity. 7 fields of data that are all graphed showing you right there on the spot if there's any change exactly what happened, when it happened. It puts all this into an HTML report. You can hit a few buttons and upload it directly onto the internet for the whole world to see. So, you know, if you're out there looking for UFOs before the Men in Black swoop down and take your data, you can get it out to the world. And so regardless of what we're looking for, and of course in this case it will be ghosts, it is the first system that will allow you to actually detect an anomaly and have all the recordings in all these fields of data to coincide to show you if what you have is an optical illusion or something that is real and tangible. And so you can imagine what's going to happen when I go to the area on the Queen Mary where these 300-plus men died and set this up. We may actually obtain this weekend for the first time ever proof that ghosts are a real phenomenon external to the observer.
Well, that's fantastic. And I bet this PC is very, very sensitive, isn't it?
It's one of the best in the world. In fact, if you want to see a screenshot of this thing, just go to Coast to Coast AM. You have a link to my name there, joshuapwarren.com. And if you click there, you'll find a page that has a screenshot. It shows you all the dials. And this thing is so sensitive that if I stand on the other side of the room and run a comb through my hair, it will trigger this machine, and it will pick up what has happened. And can you imagine if over the next, you know, year or something like that, we have, you know, hundreds of people around the world using a system like this, what it will do for these phenomena we've been studying for years? I mean, it will. I believe it can change the world, because it's easy to take one field of data and debunk it. But if you have seven fields of data that all coincide, and you end up with repeatable results, whether it is ghosts or UFOs or cryptids, I mean, if you have something that has actually occurred there and it triggers seven fields of data, how are you going to debunk that?
I got to tell you, my staff will grab the disk if you capture anything and run off and try to give it to me.
Please do. I mean, I'll tell you, anything I get this weekend is freely available to everybody. I mean, you'll be the first person to get it. And that's what we want to do. We want to see people gathering data according to these guidelines using systems like this. And you know, the only reason that a system like this has not been invented before now is laziness, pure and simple.
Really?
Yeah, of course. I mean, because this is
technology's always been there, right?
It's been there, yeah. And I was skeptical myself when I first heard about the paranormal PC, because I figured they would have some low-level meters that may not be, you know, up to par.
Right.
But actually, you can use these meters as standalone meters as well. And I tested them, and they are the finest quality. They've been engineered by people who specialize in paranormal research themselves and who are scientists. And I just can't say enough good stuff about it. And, you know, it's a bold claim, but I stake my reputation on the fact that if this thing is operated properly, well, then if something actual, tangible, physical changes in the environment, you are going to have a recording of it that is going to stand up to scientific scrutiny.
You have no doubts, Joshua. Now, you know, you've been investigating ghosts for a number of years. You have no doubts that there's something on the other side, do you?
No, I really don't at this point. You know, I've always been very careful about how I word what I say, because I don't like jumping to conclusions. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm not going to live forever. And if I wait until I have, 100% proof of everything, that's never going to happen. I mean, science does not operate based upon possibilities. It operates based upon probabilities. And whether or not something is possible and probable are two different things. And I feel like that at this point in time, we have no reason to believe that life forms cannot exist in realms that are non-physical to you and me. Because physicality itself is a relative thing. I mean, all that physicality means is that two things are resonating within a range similar enough to one another so they can resist one another. But there are plenty of things that are real that are not physical to us, just like radio waves. I mean, they carry information, but we can't directly see them or feel them, but we are swimming in an ocean of them, so to speak. And I see no reason to think that there cannot be other life forms, whether they are human or animal or something yet undefined, that also exist in this realm just outside of what we consider physical, at certain times, at certain places, and under certain conditions, our frequencies change, however, and we converge close enough together to experience each other, even if for a limited period of time. And so I have known all along that it's just a matter of getting a convenient, efficient system put together to document this. And thank goodness we live in a day and age right now where we have the smartest physicist out there telling us that there are at least 11 different dimensions, and this is just one universe, which is sort of a bubble in an almost infinite ocean of other universes, and that basically, regardless of what's probable, anything is possible, and so it lends credence to our speculation about these mysterious and rare events.
And you believe the hereafter is normal, that it's part of this universe, always has been?
Well, I think to some degree the idea of the hereafter always has been, and the fact that we have experiences with things from the past have always been real. The problem is trying to determine the meaning of those events. For example, ghosts, at very least, as a part of the human experience, are certainly real. I mean, people have experienced ghosts, they will continue to experience ghosts, and they gain usable information from those experiences. However, in some cases, the ghosts seem interactive and aware and conscious. In other cases, they seem redundant and predictable, almost like an imprint. So the real question is, whatever this aspect of humans and objects is that continues to remain after the physical structure is gone, is that conscious, or is it just some sort of residual energy that has no thinking ability? That's the real question, because it's difficult to determine that kind of meaning based upon data. That is based more on the human experience and the interactivity. And so that's why, you know, we can never forget that no matter how advanced our technology gets, the most advanced instrument is the human mind, the human brain that has been honed by millions of years of evolution.
Joshua, your appearance at the Ghost Fest, can you tell us specifically when you're going to be there, or are you going to be there during all the couple days?
I will be at the Ghost Fest all days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In fact, both Friday and Saturday nights, I will be with Erica Frost in the cargo hold where this major disaster happened, where 300-plus men died. And actually what happened was most of the men who died were on the ship the Queen Mary hit. But those two ships converged at the same time at that moment in space-time, and so they both equally absorbed this event. And I'm going to be doing that vigil both of those nights from midnight to 1 in the morning with Erica. My understanding is that Erica relies more on her subjective impressions. I'll be there with the latest toys like this paranormal PC set up, so we'll have a nice balance there of the objective technology, so to speak, as well as what can be received subjectively through the human experience. And aside from that, I'm doing also a program on Sunday afternoon, How to Hunt Ghosts, where I go over the theories and tools and techniques used for this research. Additionally, I'll be doing a panel discussion and book signings. And, I mean, this whole weekend I'm going to be involved extensively.
Do you ever get spooked during any of your investigations? I mean, have you ever really been frightened?
Yes. Well, you know, I hesitate to use the word frightened specifically because I've never directly felt threatened as though I were going to be harmed. But I do think there is potential to be harmed by a ghost. I've had a lot of people tell me that, you should not tell folks to be afraid of ghosts, that, you know, ghosts are just some sort of, a reflection of the past. But the fact of the matter is, I have seen, and we have videotaped, physical objects moving in these places that are haunted without any visible physical explanation. And if I walk into a room and, you know, a vase flies off the top shelf and hits me in the head, that's going to hurt. And so I think at very least, in terms of trivial, if you will, physical effects, then yes, there is something to fear from ghosts. The bigger fear is probably just the psychological one, and we can get into that in a moment if you'd like, in terms of how that these places can affect people psychologically and make them do bad things. But altogether, I have been intimidated by having objects flying around. On one occasion, I was in a haunted house near the site of a massacre, and I was walking down a dark hallway, and all of a sudden, I was by myself, and this shelf next to me just gave way, two or three shelves, and objects just went crashing to the ground. You talk about jumping out of your skin. But I've never really felt like there was something bad out to get me, you know, so I don't know how far that this activity can go, but, you know, I have seen bruising and welts on people that they say are the product of some sort of spiritual manifestation, but and some people are so physiologically sensitive, they can't go into some haunted places without, you know, vomiting or having other severe problems. You know, I know some people who've, you know, been involved with, and well, there's one woman who committed suicide after going to a haunted place, you know? So, I mean, again, it's hard to figure out the cause and effect in these cases. But, yes, there are dangers.
In less than 2 days, Joshua, I have spoken or met now two people from Asheville. You and who've I've known for a while, and I met Ron Rice yesterday, who heads up and started Hawaiian Tropic, and he's from your neck of the woods, loves the program, listens to it religiously, and loves it all, the UFOs, the ghosts, you name it. What is it about Asheville that so many people have had these paranormal experiences in?
Well, you know, the author of the Celestine Prophecy said that Asheville is the New Age capital of the world, which I think is an accurate statement after doing some of the traveling I have. But, you know, Asheville has the oldest mountains in the entire world, right there in western North Carolina. And you can only imagine the layers of history when you have the oldest mountains in the world. Plus, we have some of the purest quartz in the world. In fact, NASA utilizes some of the quartz for their optics from time to time, and we know that quartz has this intriguing relationship with electricity. But what I find especially amazing is that if you start in Asheville and you draw a line eastward horizontally, well, next you hit Brown Mountain, the site of the Brown Mountain Light.
Right.
These mysterious multicolored spheres have been seen hovering around this ridge for years. Next you hit the Devil's Tramping Ground, which is this 40-foot barren circle of land. Nobody knows why nothing will grow there, and there are tales that when you put objects in the middle the next morning, they are pushed to the outside. If you continue drawing that line down to the coast, well, you hit the colony, or the area where the first English colony was established in 1590, and they all vanished. So we call it the Lost Colony. Nobody knows where they went. Off the coast of North Carolina, they have called it the graveyard of the Atlantic, because so many ships have sunk there. And if you keep drawing that line eastward out into the Atlantic, you finally hit the island of Bermuda, the top point of the Bermuda Triangle. So it seems like there is an alignment there, almost what some people might call a ley line or something, of energy that feeds these paranormal phenomena. And at very least, we know that there are grid patterns around the Earth that conduct electricity, and, you know, faults are a part of that. And so whether or not there is anything to the ley line phenomenon, there is certainly an alignment there. And I don't know how far it continues to extend west necessarily, but altogether, Asheville, combined with those features I've described, and the fact that it's always been a popular hangout for dynamic personalities, celebrities and politicians and all that, it all culminates in just being an area where energy resonates for some reason.
Joshua, so many of us have had loving pets that have passed on, and you have written a new book called Pet Ghosts. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. These are incredible stories, and those of you later on can share some of your own stories with us. I know we've had incredible stories over the past few years where people have had their very favorite animals that have passed on come back and visit them because they just don't want to leave. Joshua Warren, our guest. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Now, those of you who have never seen the movie The Lady in White, which is one incredible ghost movie, you won't know about that theme song that you just heard, but it was in it. When I first saw this movie years ago, I heard that song in it, and it's just, I always remember the movie. It's absolutely staggering. It's a ghost story. I've talked about it before in the program. Go rent it. It's one of the George Norrie recommendations. I mean, you will love it. You will love it. Another thing you're going to love is the fact that we're giving out a couple free CDs with an After Dark newsletter subscription. Old interviews that Art Bell did with the late Father Malachi Martin. One of them we gave out a few years ago with a subscription. Well, we found an old program on exorcisms and strangeness with Father Martin. So take advantage of it. You get the two shows for free. You just pay shipping and handling when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. Don't know how long this promotion is going to last. It's about 3 weeks old now. Take advantage of it. 1-888-727-5505. You can go online as well, coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Joshua P. Warren. Joshua, have you ever seen the movie, The Lady in White?
I think I saw it many years ago, but I don't really recall that much about it.
This is the one where the little school kid is locked in the closet.
Okay.
And remember that?
Yes, and it got really creepy.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's a Joshua Warren movie. I'm telling you.
That was a little me there.
I want to, before we get into pet stories, I want to tell you an incredible story. And I've mentioned this to Tom, my line producer, because I don't want him upset. And it's okay to talk about this. Years ago, he had a brother that died of cancer. And Tuesday night, he took the night off. And a line producer is the person who is part of the program while I'm on the air. We've got Lisa as the producer during the daytime, working on guests, and she edits After Dark. But the line producer is the person who's with me while I'm on the air. And Tuesday night, he took off, so we had someone else in to fill in for him, Gina. And while Gina was taking the calls and putting them on hold for me and getting ready for our phone calls, she got a call on the international line, which is strange because that doesn't ring a lot. And the person said that he was Mike, Tom's brother. Now, she does not know anything about the past. So she went, oh, yeah, how are you? And he said, oh, I'm okay. I've been traveling a lot. And, just tell Tom hi for me and all is well. And so she got off the phone, and when she talked to Tom, she mentioned this, and his jaw opened up, Joshua, because the brother Mike, whom not a lot of people knew about, died of cancer. And, I mean, he was baffled. You know, first thing he thinks is, all right, who's playing this sick game on me? And he got beyond that now. And I've got to tell you, during this break where we just broke for a little bit, I've got with my studio, there's a connection between where Tom sits and where I am. And he's in there and he answers the calls and things, but he also has his office down the hall. Well, there's no need for him to be in this little room right now. We're not taking phone calls. So he's in his office. And as I was, and there's a glass, pane of glass between us. As I was looking in there, I see this young person standing against the wall with his arms folded in one of his legs, against the wall, as you would stand up against the wall. And I went, that's strange. I guess Tom has a guest in there, which he always tells me about. And as I was leaving the studio, I peek back in on another window, which is in the hallway, and the person's gone. And I went up to Tom and I said, Tom, this is strange. And I describe what the person looked like, and he's in shock, Joshua. He's beginning to think that his departed brother is coming back for some reason. Now, this is strange. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted that this is happening, of all places, of course, on your program, because, you know, it seems to me when an apparition would appear so prominently in a radio studio, well, the point is there's a message there to be communicated with the listener.
Yeah, I mean, first it starts with a phone call, if it's real. And I've got to tell you, I am not kidding you. I saw what I thought was an apparition standing against the wall, and I thought it was someone that Tom invited into that room. And as quickly as I walk past that portion where I saw him and then past another window, there's like two adjoining windows on a 90-degree type angle, he was gone. He wasn't in there, and there's no way somebody would come in and come out. I mean, it's impossible. Why is he hanging around the studio if this indeed is his departed brother? And what's the message he's trying to convey? He's obviously trying to contact Tom.
Well, you know, I think that everything does literally happen for a reason. I mean, there can be no such thing as chance, because that would imply that there could be an effect without a cause. And that doesn't even make sense according to what we know about physics. And just think about the fact, of all people to have this tragedy occur, you know, you have Tom, who is right there accessible to millions of people listening to this program. It's right here at the weekend of the Ghost Fest, which is probably the biggest and most significant ghost conference ever produced on the world's most haunted ship. We've got this brand new technology that we're going to be using this weekend. This is the first time that I will have ever met you in person this weekend after years of conversations
yeah.
with you. All of this is converging together because I think there is good reason to believe that due to some cosmic shift that is beyond our understanding, the time has finally come for this breakthrough for the world at large to realize that ghostly activity is real, that there is something tangible there that is external to the observer. I think that, you know, hopefully Tom would agree that even though his brother's death was a tragedy, in retrospect and in context, maybe there was a purpose for how this has happened and why he's coming back. And he may be serving as a personal messenger to those of you there in the studio to give you that extra conviction that you need to help actually make that transition for the world into this new phase of understanding that this is something we can't scoff at anymore. All these people who have been saying for years and years that ghosts are real are not crazy, they're not imagining things, they're not lying, they're not necessarily misinterpreting what they're seeing. There is a reality here that we have been denying, and I feel like that we are extremely fortunate at this point to be living at a time when this sort of conversion has happened. And let me tell you, this is just the icing on the cake, because over this past year, just the past few months, some of the research that my team and I, Lemur, have been doing has also been groundbreaking in the sense of proving and attempting to prove some new connections to give new legitimacy to all this. And, you know, we've been waiting for decades for, you know, the flying saucer to land. And
sure.
Maybe it's already happened, but the government, they're going to be the first people on the scene, and we may never know about it. You know, we've been waiting to catch that Bigfoot. I don't know if Bigfoot's out there. Personally, I think Bigfoot might be a semi-physical creature, but it hasn't happened, and I kind of doubt we're ever going to see a Bigfoot, frankly. But ghosts, they are out there. And I do believe that the time has come, and in our lifetime, we're going to make a significant breakthrough that is going to finally show that to everyone. And you are an integral piece of that puzzle. So this makes me feel even more confident that you have had this personal experience, you and Tom, that adds this extra layer to everything else that's been accumulating.
He just walked into this small room area that he stays in where I saw this apparition. And he stood there for a few minutes, and he looked around, and I got to tell you, it was kind of emotional to see him in there, because he's obviously, you know, trying to feel this, what two other people that he trusts have now experienced, who have no motives, who only want the best for him. And, you know, we have now experienced something that he hasn't yet. And it's kind of emotional, Joshua.
Well, it should be, because basically what this is doing, at least for you on a personal level, not that you needed any reassurance, I would imagine, at this point, but it's showing you personally, giving you even more evidence that we are greater than what we can see when we observe each other at a purely physical level. You know, recently I was talking to a scientist who gave me a great analogy. He said, you know, if you took a television and showed it to cavemen, you know, they would break it open trying to find the little people inside. And you can look using every technique feasible, and you will never find the little people inside, even though you can see them there. The little people are being broadcast from somewhere else. And you and I are apparently the same way. We can crack your brain open and use every microscope and every technique of measurement we have, and we're never going to find George Norrie in there. George Norrie is somewhere else. And this brain is apparently the conduit through which we get George Norrie. And so when that brain is gone and that body is gone, there is still a George Norrie out there somewhere. And if everyone realizes that, then maybe they will become more responsible people, because it shows us the greater philosophical meaning behind who we are and our place in the universe. And nonetheless, though, we have to be skeptical. There is a lot of stuff out there to distract us every single day. There are a lot of people out there who want to simply mislead us for some selfish purpose. And so we have to have these kinds of personal experiences. And I've got to tell you myself, with all the research that I've done, I still would be somewhat doubtful about the reality of apparitions. After talking to thousands of people, after seeing all kinds of measurements on equipment and video footage, I still would be somewhat doubtful if I had not eventually seen one myself. And that personal experience is necessary at least to get us to this point. And at this point, hopefully, thanks to the communication that you are providing, thanks to the engineers who are out there working on new technology, we have gotten far enough along so that we know what to do, we know how to do it, in order to get the data to show other people that this is real.
Joshua, well, we only have about 7 minutes to go for this segment, so I'm going to talk fresh next hour about the pet ghosts. We'll do that, so we'll continue chatting now. You know, in my lifetime now, I have seen what I call shadow rodents going across the road. I have seen a shadow dog in an old townhouse I owned, and then saw scratch marks, groove marks on the inside of a door where they obviously had kept a real dog, so that was weird for me. I saw once what I thought was some kind of apparition in the backseat of my car at night. That was kind of weird and spooky. And now this situation, that's it in my entire lifetime to have witnessed these. Would you consider that abnormally low or high, or just right in the middle in terms of these paranormal experiences?
Well, right off the bat, I would consider it abnormally high. But altogether, I mean, you're an abnormal person. I mean, you know, you stand out amongst the populace because, I mean, look at where you've ended up in your life, you know, hosting this unique program. So it would make sense that you would have an abnormally high rate of these things. What I find, however, is that most people have had this kind of an experience at one time or another, but it is so easy to second-guess yourself if you don't have something there to record the experience. I mean, it's easy for me when I go out there in the field and I've got all these video cameras and all these meters to have an experience that is recorded and then to go back and believe that I experienced that because it is documented and I can't deny it. You know, I see it on the videotape. I know that I didn't imagine this. But the average person who does not have that ability says, well, if it's easier for me to use Occam's razor and to say, I didn't see what I thought I saw, for whatever reason. You know, take your pick. There's a whole list of reasons to believe that. And so instead of dwelling on it, you know, they just move forward and they forget about it. You, on the other hand, are a naturally curious person. And I think that you haven't just taken these experiences for granted. And so it may be that you, at very least, have paid more attention to these experiences and remembered them and thought about them when, you know, the hard part about doing this kind of research is that we can't necessarily say that one person experiences more paranormal phenomena than another. What we can say is that one person remembers and reports more than another. Because if a person doesn't report it, how are you going to know?
Sure.
And therefore, it tells us something quite insightful about the psychology of people who do report these encounters. And, you know, there is a new book out called Science, and it's spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E by Marie Jones. And I was reading it recently, and she makes a good point where she says that probably some of the most, if not the most, credible witnesses to paranormal phenomena are the ones who are least likely to talk about it. Because those are the people who, you know, they have the squeaky clean background, and they are afraid of messing that up by saying something that is risky. So it's about being willing to take a risk in the name of truth to report that you have had these experiences. And, you know, tomorrow if I get abducted by aliens, I'm not afraid to call you up and say, George, it finally happened.
I want a call from the craft.
Hopefully there with my paranormal PC on the craft.
And you better be texting me some pictures from your cell phone.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, it is a little jarring to do a double take, to see what you think is a human being, and then all of a sudden, he's not in there anymore. And, you first of all begin to question your own mind, what you saw, and then you realize, I didn't make this up. And then immediately I thought of what had happened on Tuesday night, and now I'm beginning to put two and two together. Is there some kind of message coming to Tom? I mean, is this a warning? Is it just a friendly, I'm okay? What do you think this is?
I don't think that there is a specific message coming to Tom other than the wording that was communicated through the phone call. Now, like you said, that could just be a prank. We don't know.
We don't know. Yeah, but this wasn't.
Yeah.
This wasn't. I mean, you know, as you know, I don't believe in coincidences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you hooked me up to a lie detector test right now, I'd pass it because I saw what I believed I saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's easy to look at something like your radio program as something nebulous because there are so many millions of people involved. But the fact is, there is a staff of actual human beings that are behind this program, and Tom is one of them. And I think when he gets a message that may have come from his dead brother, even saying, hi, I'm okay, and you know, I want you to know this, and that message is going to turn into what it's turning into right now. It's a message to everybody that there is some life, apparently, after death. That's the message.
And, it's happening around Thanksgiving. It's happening around the holiday season. Very, very unusual. It really is. There's got to be a reason.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, because why else? If he had called in and said, look, there's, you know, you need to know I buried a treasure in the backyard or something.
Or like be that. Careful when you're in your car or something like that.
Yeah, but just to say, hi, you know, I want you to know I'm doing okay. It is, that's a more important message because it reaches everybody. And there are a lot of people who are going to hear this conversation right now, and they're going to say, you know, I believe what George Norrie has experienced, and it's going to change their lives.
Yeah, I think so too. Joshua, stick with us. Now we will talk at the top of the hour, pet ghosts, animal encounters from beyond the grave. I got to tell you, this is an incredible story that Joshua P. Warren has put together. I love animals. You do too. And just to know that they too last forever is kind of neat. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.